This morning I'm turning to the book of Romans chapter 3. Now read from verse 9 down. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And our thinking this morning is universal human depravity. Universal human depravity. And okay, yes, some of the capacity of drinking away. Messima, we are seeing here, Nipa Apro on Yamianim, Nipa Apro on him, Nipa any train a year, and as a papa beer on Yamianim. And on that, and okay, a person of drinking. Before we go to our verses, this argument that Apostle Paul was bringing out, he started from chapter 1. So if we look at chapter 1 and 2, he has already demonstrated that both the Jews and the Gentiles are all in sin. All have breached the law of God. If you look at the Gentiles, for instance, our ancestors, because we are also Gentiles, we are not Jews. Our ancestors, all the knowledge they had about God were corrupted with their own vain imaginations. So for centuries, the Gentile world has been plunged into idolatry. And let me just read a little for you from chapter 1, 19-23, to just reflect on that. How he described how idolatry was full all over, and still with those that without Christ. From Romans chapter 1, 19-23, he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, that is, the Gentiles, in general. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to bears, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So you see, that's how Apostle Paul wrote about the general idea that the nations had about God after the fall, and then these nations fell into idolatry. And that, he said that therefore changed the image of God in their own imagination to, they thought God to be like an animal, any other thing. And he said to bears, fishes, reptiles, goats, animals, elephants, and also as even many nations today, if you go, there are places that people still worship these things. The Apostle Paul now can say, I'm a man, Nipa does not some sanyo me. A whole portion of a nation worship elephants and that. Even if you come to our own country, if you go to those who worship, who have this traditional worship, they also have these animals. They still worship as their gods and all that. So what Apostle Paul is telling us, we don't need to go far to realize what he's telling us. The Apostle Paul, casual, you know, he am crazy. You cry, you sanyo man. You share your future here. Okay, and also of the Jews, he said they were also given the ways of God, his written law, his worship and service. When God called Abraham and his descendants became a nation, before Moses brought them to the Canaan land, God gave them his written laws, which the moral law were, known by even those without the written law, because as the Bible says, not or at least but most of them, others were corrupted. As God has implanted his law in our hearts, so that God only put them down and perfected it for them. And they had it, his worship, how they can have any relationship with him, the sacrifices and the everything which he gave them. And yet, despite all this, they despised it and went about to establish their own way of pleasing God. So these people, the Israelites also, when God has been giving them his written laws and his ways, they went about to also establish their own ways before God. God showed them, this is how you can relate to me. But they said, no, we also want our own way. So they replaced God's righteousness, which is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, with their own righteousness. Now, Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, 2 to 4, let me read it for you. He said that, referring to his own people, he said that, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So you see, despite God showing them, guiding them, giving out his ways to them, they also, because of their sinful hearts, were blinded to the ways of God, and they chose the path where they can relate to God. And almost you have found ever for more money, mra. Now, quite name is almost me a fast way, no more, no more, why do you want to know? Bonnie almost a macum, you know, good boy now, almost here, then, etchum, echo far, quire, on person, one gas a fast, and I have upon edgy on two. So, if we look at this explanation, I'm sure that what Apostle Paul tells us in verse 9 is easily to be understood. He said that, for then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. I'll say, at that time, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it. And I'm having a book of fire, dear my, you know, Yafum, so I into me at the end. So, Apostle Paul just telling us that this is the problem of man. So, we can understand his question. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. So, we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So, his question is easily understood here. And also, the general description he gives to the general depravity of all mankind. Because what he said there, the following verse describes how the sin of man has made him both ignorant and also so proud in his own ways against the ways of God. So, verse 9, I repeat verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So that in the eyes of God, both Jews and Gentiles are all sinners. Both Jews and Gentiles are all sinners. All are under the power of sin by birth. Jews or Gentiles, we are all born into sin. Our parents are sinners, and by birth we are also become sinners. That's what it means. All are under the guilt of sin by practice. Both Jews and Gentiles, when we come to this world, we begin to conduct ourselves in sinful ways. We learn, we have the sin with us, we begin to also to learn the ways of sin in the world. And say bonnie, if you say Jew for say, ye nya she bonnie as into ni awe bonim, ye bas as in susan ye nya ye hunyan san. Bonne in that bonin human head ye cost we say we Jew new, so we manamanu nimunio. Bonne ho a few bone a day or so. Ya Jew munu bonin ye cost ye. So by this corruption, all are under God's wrath. And then both Jews and Gentiles are also under God's wrath because every sin must receive a just punishment from the just God. God is the judge of all the earth. God is the one whom we are accountable to with whatever we desire, or with whatever we say, or with whatever we do. It is God. Even if we do something against somebody, it's against God. Every sin is against him. So if we are under sin, then God's wrath is upon everyone. Here can I say, see how we are born him. So
So we see that though the Jews descended from Abraham, yet they are no better. Whatever, privileges God gave them as a nation and the promises he gave them, it doesn't make them better. I read some commentary by the Jewish old writers, and how in their mind, how they describe, they said the Jews have a holy soul. The Jews are born in holiness. So they were so proud. That's why when Lord Jesus Christ came, you see, even the apostles, they themselves took it so hard to realize that God is going to bless the Gentiles with the Jews. And until even Peter himself was shown the vision, and even still after the vision, remember when Apostle Paul met Peter, Peter was trying to separate himself from the Gentiles. That thing, so they became so proud that because God has dealt with us as a nation, we are God's people. But Jesus Christ proved to them in his time that, no, in John chapter 8, he said, if you were Abraham's children, you wouldn't hate me. You would know me. So you see, despite God dealing with the Israelites as a whole, they were individuals who were only always in the prophet, in the writing of prophets, he said, a remnant. Even among the Jewish people, the only few who were God's people throughout all their, when Moses took them to the end of their national privileges, where God took them away and replaced his church as his people, both Jews and Gentiles joined together. So you see that the Jews were proud about this, and because of that, they despised the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all the sacrifices and those way of reconciliation, atonement were pointing to. They despised him when he came. So you see that they were so proud, and yet Apostle Paul is telling us, as confirmed from Scripture, they were no better than anyone. It was God's special favor, which he favored them. The same way, if anyone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved, it's just by grace. We are no better than anybody. No Christian, even when we are saved, we have nothing. As Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians, he said that, what have you had that is not received? Whether by natural things or spiritual things, believers have nothing that is their own, so that we need not to be proud. So you see, these people were so proud, but then they were not better. All of us are sinners, both by birth and practice. And then that is why all of us need to hear the gospel and come to the faith in the gospel. Why do we need the gospel? Because the Bible tells it is the power of God unto salvation. If anyone despises the gospel of Christ, he despises his hope of salvation. So be poor, yes, Christ, and you will Calvary, not the be same one, or the big crack one. They need to assure war, Yankupom's or Benjamin Kwano, Wapo. So let people do whatever they can, they will do, except they hear the gospel and they believe, they read their hopes of salvation and their hope of life on Christ. There is no salvation from sin. God cannot deal with us. That's the only way God has put so that he will deal with us needy sinners. Sinner, always I look at the account of the thief on the cross. That's how we all have always have, even after salvation, that's how we look ourselves before God. And if we're able to look ourselves like that before God, we will always be humble in our own eyes. The thief had nothing. He can offer nothing before God. Only his mercy, his grace that he pleaded to. Sad boy, maybe I'm a chaser. Maybe the boy in not Jesus Christ. Yeah, born as any kind of Jesus Christ. Anyways, I'm not all Sam of the Hope Jesus Christ. But this son of the Bian, maybe I'm a son of the Bian again. See a young crown, See a green sad and one. We also have a point in Yes, some for that. Name of the Mugro who need not don't pay here. Then people will be a Bemaya and events. But sometimes Christians even are led to think that we are better. We are not better in anything. All that we have is by the grace and mercy of God through Christ and what he has done on Calvary. You take that one out or you mix anything with it, God cannot deal with you. So verse 10, he said that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The one who cannot do all the commandments of God is not righteous. The one who cannot do everything that the commandments say is not righteous. And as we all know, that there is no person on earth who has ever lived after Adam fell who has ever obeyed all the commandments of God. So then it is true that there is none righteous on earth. After the fall, Adam in his innocence was righteous before God. God could come to him and deal with him.
But after sin, there is none righteous on earth. None can meet the standard of God's acceptance. No, obienu bone ba wi aso obienu ho mo a otumi di nyakopon bra nyia so. Adam ye bone pena sefo nyia obia na obetumi di nyakopon bra no so. Ye nyia o se ba ni papa ko o se yachuo se yachuo se obibie no ye twen ni o se ba ko kra ni ho. Apostle no no so ka ho. Obia ka ho. Obibiara aba wi asi mu a ya wo na ba wi asi mo ni pa no ka ho. Let's look for instance, sometimes people fight against this, that yeah, it is true that we are sinners, but we are not born sinners. It's true that we are sinners, but we are not totally depraved. Normally, they fight against the doctrine of total depravity. Because any power problem anymore, the be more full say that be Papa do only pay more. And do a meeting if you more standard, but Papa do only pay more. I mean, as you go share so at the year, baby. Look for instance in the law of our country, okay. Except we keep every law, then we are not law-abiding citizens. Jesus, you didn't run out. You are guilty. Before the law court. So be our embra crown, who back up as well. Young Gasa, we are the most law abiding citizens here. They show. They work with them running near the Western. I remember years ago, a company I used to work with, they have controlled about 3,000 persons, but they were charged with tax fraud. It wasn't even big amounts, but they were taken to the court. And whatever the law demanded, they were called to do. Missing maybe now, you may be a young Juma. I'm a fine for about 2,000 plus. And so, tax like our move will be fast. So, you see, we, even in this, I mean, normal life situations, a little offense, you are called, except people are corrupt, you are called to answer. It doesn't matter how perfect you are in other things. Yet, how sad many deceive themselves when it comes to obedience to the law of God. Somebody can sit down and think, how sad it is. And yet, plead that because of that, he's a Christian. Sometimes we go to the station, we meet all this. You ask somebody, sometimes I begin the decision like this. I'm sure you know that, well, this is a commonality people have nowadays about the Bible. All are sinners. Yes, they agree, all are sinners. Okay, so what are you doing about your sin? Because God said that sin must be punished. You cannot go to God with your sin. Okay. You didn't hear me ask them. Okay, we are trying to obey that God's will. And I'll ask them, what has the Bible tell us to do that? And then they will pause. You see, that's the general idea in people's mind. Oh, okay, Yankopo asked them, would this guy? No, there's nothing like this. Yes, we have to obey the law, though we are not able to obey it. It's our duty to obey. But if we should have the hope in obedience for salvation, we are doomed. Because nobody can really obey the laws of God. Yet many deceive themselves. And that's a common idea with people who have some knowledge in the Bible, who are not really saved. They think that their good deeds can cancel their bad deeds before God. How can it be? As I use that common illustration of somebody who was a law-abiding citizen, who have broken just a single infraction, and who has broken one law, is taken to the judge. The judge will not look at how much good he has done to people. If you look at the crime he has committed and judge him, if he's to be in prison, he'll be imprisoned. So, the same way before God, all that you have done, just one, destroys all because it makes all to the same. So, we see that sometimes we may seem righteous in our own self and even in the eyes of people, they may see us good people because maybe they think of something we have done. But nobody can claim that he has never done wrong. Yes, people might claim that it's good to do good so that people see us good. But then nobody can claim that they have never done any wrong. No reasonable person would do that. You see, they tell us that we don't have inherent righteousness. We are not born with righteous heart or righteous mind. That is why always, whatever we do, it is tainted with sin. We are not born with a righteous mind or with a holy heart. It was lost when Adam sinned. We also lost with him. Adam was our representative. He acted on our behalf, and by through him,
whatever he did has come to us. And we too, we continue by our own willful way what has been done before. So we continue as sinners, and then we all are sinners. As the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. So for us to be accepted before God, we must look beyond ourselves. So you have to come back to you, and say, see, if you we should look beyond ourselves. Anything good about ourselves, we should look beyond that. We must look to the righteousness of Christ, which God has put there for us. God, knowing that we cannot meet his standard, has himself placed a way to come to him. In Galatians 2:16, we are told, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, whether Jew or Gentile. Now, nobody except faith in Christ. This is used to pair out with our Calvary. See, I did a rebel to know. So, sir, I go be my boss. See, who am I a born in? I know pet me bit me. I'm a bad friend. I go for him. So, there's none righteous, no, not one. But then God has provided a way of righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus, by his death on the cross of Calvary, and by our faith in him, and coming to him, and resting our hopes of salvation in him. Verse 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. So see Apostle Paul's line of reasoning. See, he picks on one and goes on. Somebody will say, okay, maybe you cannot do good, maybe our thinking is perfect. But he touches on that. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. You see, we always think of ourselves as wise persons. Nobody will think of himself as a foolish person in this world. Everybody is wise in his own eyes, you see. But the Bible tells us, none understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Despite we thinking of ourselves as wise, naturally we are ignorant of God and his will for us. So here even we say, we ask me, you didn't answer your boy, you're a cobana. We lack spiritual understanding or wisdom from above. We are born on this earth, as the Bible says, those that are born on earth, we are empty. Our mind, our wisdom is for this world. And then our mind should be lifted up. It's God. Like, remember how when God created Adam, he formed him out of the earth and he breathed onto him the breath of life. And sin has robbed us of this quality of what? Knowledge of God and our desire to him, to seek after him. We have lost it by sin. God has taken such influence from us. As I said, we all, possess some degree of understanding of worldly matters. I mean, we are in this world. People have various of ideas and wisdom and even how to live in this world. Everybody is not denied of this. I mean, at least unless we are those that are mad, they with their mind, but everybody has, if you go to even the Amazon forest, those there, they have a way of living to survive. They have a way of doing things that makes them survive. It's their own, the wisdom in their own part of the world. They have been great intellectuals who have made great scientific discoveries. When you think of them, their minds are, they can so much discover things that you might think that they are from heaven because it's so special. We have also great poets and philosophers who seem to have had exceptional minds. When you read their writings and their knowledge of things, it will surprise you. You can look at our current times, how science is doing, the invention of AI and other advanced in technology, which is so amazing to our understanding. And sometimes I think that, hey, then our minds are so great. Yet with all this degree of wisdom, we lack spiritual understanding. Despite all the great intellectuals and their discoveries and all that the philosophers can think about to bring about life that we are so surprised about, humans, we lack spiritual understanding. We lack the way, we lack the knowledge of God. How we can know Him, how we can relate to Him, how we can be reconciled to Him. The idea that we are sinners, and the idea that God is holy, and that we have to relate to Him that way. And until we have had that holiness, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, no one with that high intellect in anything can have this, except God gives to us. You see, this is where always, these prosperity preachers get it wrong. And they mislead people about the what salvation restores. Salvation does not restore unto us our intellectual wisdom in this world. No. Because look at the great minds of this world. Most of them don't know God. Most of them don't care about God. They even try to do things so that they'll push religion out of society. Yes, they have the great minds to change the world, to make things so that the world follows their trends. Yes, they don't know God. Despite all these things, the world by wisdom don't know God. That's what the Bible tells us. But what does prosperity preachers tell us? We have lost, they tell Africans, we have lost our intellectual whatever, we have lost, the economic know-how. God is not restoring that one to us. The white, the European that have advanced in that, they have left God. Most of them have left the God when they once had. And yet, are they not advancing? We are not restored into intellectual knowledge. I remember some of these preachers would say, if you want your children to be intelligent at school, if you want this and that, Christ can do that. It's totally false. It's neither here nor there. Human intelligence has been given to us. It is us to develop it. Yes, when anyone becomes a priest, he becomes wise even in the use of this intelligence. But it doesn't make anyone more intelligent when you become a priest about the worldly matters. No. Whatever we have, that is given to the whole world to enjoy, whether we know God or not. Look at the riches of this world. The Arabs had a greater power. They are not Christians. But yet, these prosperity preachers will tell people, because you are poor, because you don't know Christ. It's neither here or there. We have lost spiritual knowledge. We have lost spiritual wisdom. So that the spiritual understanding was lost by the fall and not worldly wisdom. No. The true knowledge of God and our responsibilities to Him. The true knowledge of ourselves, sin, and the damnation. It must be revealed from God to each one of us. We may hear it, but we will never have that spiritual understanding to hold it and to believe it, or except God revealed this thing to us. So no one without spiritual awakening is sensible of these things. We can hear the gospel 1,000 times with this same message, but if God through His Spirit does not touch us, we shall be ignorant as those in the Amazon who have never heard the gospel before. We will act at the same thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we are told that by the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritual descent. The natural man. All of us born into this world, we are all natural men. We are born into this world. We have natural knowledge. All the intelligence of this world are natural knowledge. All the scientific discoveries of this are natural knowledge. They don't have any spiritual touch. Yes, God gave it to us, but it's given to, for this world. It does not help us to know Him. It does not lead us. Except God Himself helps us. We have all the wisdom of this world. We would never know anything about God, which would be helpful to us to glorify Him. So that as it is that we are born into this world as a natural person, the Bible says there is none that seeketh after God. Yes, no, we don't, no one have the understanding. Yet, there's none that seeketh after God. We don't seek after God. Verse 11, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Because we are born naturally to this world with only world knowledge of this world. Yeah, we are still doing the shares. That's what the Bible tells us. So no one naturally will seek to reconcile to God or to know His will for life. And if to be reconciled to God and to have fellowship with Him and to be saved from sin, gives us worldly prosperity, then the rich, the healthy, the intelligent do not need Christ. If I'm rich, if I'm intelligent, if I am healthy, I don't need Christ, because if getting salvation is by this, then I don't need Christ. But it is not that. It is our salvation from sin. So we agree with, John Calvin said that even those with the cleverest intellect among men are more blind than the blind themselves. And it is true. Some of them, God uses. I mean, God blesses them with understanding to come to Him. But most of the time, those with the cleverest intelligence in this world are those who are blind to spiritual things. They are proud, and God never teaches them anything. You know, historically, from Christ to today, everywhere the gospel goes, those who oppose the gospel are those who are most elite and most literate among such communities. Christ himself, the Jews, the priests, and who knew much of the Bible, they opposed him. Apostle Paul, his travels, all the difficulty he had, apart from the Jews, from the heathens, where those who were mighty men in those places, they opposed the gospel. That's why I said it's foolishness unto the wise. It doesn't make sense to them, because it humbles us. It makes us nothing. He will see me, oh, all this wisdom and knowledge I have, I want to listen. You tell me that I'm a foolish person before God. No. You see? So you see that, as Calvin, John Calvin said, those with the cleverest intellect among men are more blind than the blind themselves. It is true. The Bible confirms it. The history of the gospel confirms it. Even in our country, when the gospel is preached, mostly those with so much, they think they know much. I mean, maybe they go to church, they are religious, but they are not really saved. If you try to tell them the gospel, they think they know much. So they will not accept the simple thing you tell them. They will look at you with disgust. Because they are Christians, they know much. And yet they are lost before God. They don't know the way of righteousness. So you see how it is that if people, this prosperity, preachers are praising human goodness and intellect, foolishness. So that's what the Bible tells us. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. All have missed the life of righteousness. We take rather the life of sin and rebellion against God, our Creator, from birth. That's all we do. All the wisdom we have in this world, all the advancements we have, we are unprofitable. We've gone out of the way. Such wisdom, knowledge, if God does not help us, we will die in our wisdom and will perish to eternal fire. See how miserable we are if God does not show us mercy and kindness come to us. And as we hear the gospel, we pray that God should help us. And that is why, you see, we have example in the gospels that, see, many people who come to Christ, especially those with death needs, they come pleading. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He came pleading, oh, he's the son of David, have mercy upon me. And the woman, the Canaanite woman, she came pleading for mercy. That is the picture God showed us, how we should plead. When we have heard the gospel over and over again, and we still are hard to the truth of the gospel, we plead, we ask, we still come and ask for that. So they are all gone out of the way. We have lost the life of righteousness. We have a life to live in this world, but when it comes to righteousness, to praise God, we have all gone out of that way. Our natural birth into this world. How Yahweh are barriers. We have to start quietness. I don't know what's the official. So it is, they are together become unprofitable. It's only life of righteousness that makes us profitable before God. So if we have gone out of the way, what profit are we? I mean, what usefulness are we to God? God cannot use us, He cannot deal with us. So whatever we are, whoever we are, whatever we can do, if we do not please God, we are useless to Him. If we do not please God, we are useless to Him. And yet how the world thinks they have done good. I mean, how people can think that they are better before God. And yet they have missed the way of righteousness, which God has laid down in the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein sinners have their hopes in Him and rest in Him for their forgiveness. God is holy, pure, righteous, and just. Psalm 111, verse 7, the works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. This is God. How can we deal with Him? How can God deal with us? These are His ways. Upright, there's no crookedness with Him. But how are we? Can we come to such a God? Can we meet his standard? In Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5, we are told, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, who hath not lifted up his soul to love anything above God. To lift up your soul to vanity, to love anything above God. That is where idolatry begins. Loving anything above God. Do we have pure heart? Do we have clean hands? By ourselves, nobody can say that, except we are blind. So we see we are useful to God only when we have His righteousness. You see, when we think of our hearts, our desires and actions, and see how deficient we are before God, we only come looking up to His righteousness. Then that's where we become useful to Him, when we have His righteousness, which comes to us by knowing Christ. Let me read a verse for you from here. It says that, verse 21 to 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being written by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. There's no difference. This is what makes us useful to God. If we lack the God, this righteousness comes with power. It comes to change us. It doesn't come to stay in our mind so that we just talk about it. Many people have that kind of righteousness. They can talk about everything, doctrines of Christ, and have perfect understanding. But it doesn't affect their heart and life. No, it's righteousness that comes to our mind and into our heart. It changes us. It's like light that comes. We receive the light, and then the light surrounds us, and we live in it. So you see, having the righteousness of Christ does not only affect our thinking, it affects our doings also. You see, that's what makes us useful to God. As I said, human wisdom is only useful for this world. So however wise we are, however clever we are, if we lack the wisdom of Christ, which God has set forth, the forgiveness of sin in Him, and our hopes of life in Him, and our hope of eternal glory in Him, everything of whatever we desire, if it's not in Christ, we are lost. We have not what God expects of us. So he continues, there is none that doeth good. Yes, there is none that doeth good. If we are useless before God, then what good is it? What good can we do? Here we can count of, oh, we did good to this person, we did right here, we did. But then before God, there's none that doeth good, because we lack until we have had our righteousness. Why? Because we are sinners, and by that our good deeds are tainted with sin. Our good deeds. Let me read a quote from Augustine. St. Augustine was also a church father in early years. He said that, let no one flatter himself. Each person is a devil, and the only good he has is what comes from God. For what do you have which is yours, except sin? If you take what is yours, take sin, for righteousness is from God. Any good that we can do, that God should accept, is from Him. He must give us. If we should count of anything, we should count of our sin. That is what we have. That's what we were born with. Say, yes, see, yebeka bibia, eh, papa o yemu. Ah, nyakupo bet nini beswa. Papa ni papa. Yankwa 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 papa, but papa so nyakupo eni noa. Osi if nyakupo no dia mai. Osi se ube fa bibia ewa ohwa. Fa buwa ni bibise, buwane no na ye odia. Buwane na ye, ye niye, ye bise niye, ye u yemu. That is how we are. That is what we are. In Isaiah 64 verse 6, it confirms, you see that, but Isaiah 64 verse 6, but we are all as unclean things, all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Sin have made us to go away of the way of righteousness. And then, how can we claim anything good in our hearts before God. We can claim nothing. Indeed, by sin, we have all fallen short of God's holy image in us. That's what the Bible tells us. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory is not of worldly wisdom. It's not of about economics or government or how we run politics. These things are given to people who have no Bible. Kingdoms are kingdoms that came even before the written Bible and who never departed. Even after the fall, departed. They had kingdoms. You know, the descendants of Cain, they begin to have kingdoms before even God begin to even deal with men again. They begin to have cities and have, look at the builders of Babel and many other things. They didn't need, special dealing of God with them before they can do those things. So let nobody think that all that we need is, that's how they used to deceive Africa, because we are always, the poverty surrounds us everywhere. No, it's not intelligence and how we live in this world. It's how we relate to God and know Him and know ourselves, that we are nothing before Him without His goodness to us. That through Christ alone, that we are restored back to this image which we lost, image of truthfulness, honesty, righteousness, holiness, sincerity, and everything. We have lost that. Patience and love and true sense of our godly fear and the true sense of love for human beings. It is lost. We have measure, but it's lost. All that we have, it is mixed with selfishness. Whatever we do, whatever we can think of doing. And as I said, for the sake of our restoration, Christ has to die and pay for our punishment. Sin must be taken away, and Christ must come and die before we can be restored to this state. In 1 Peter 3:18, we are told, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Man has to be brought back to God. You see, that is what godly wisdom helps us to understand, that that's what all that we have. We have to be brought back to God. We cannot come to God by ourselves. God Himself has to bring in a mediator, Christ Himself. And we have to be brought back to God. This knowledge, for us to grasp it and live upon it, must come from heaven to us. That we need to be brought back to God. That our life in this world doesn't count except we have been brought back to God. So Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. So let's see the Son of God. He must come and die so that we can be reconciled to God. Let's see the weight of that act of Him. How He, the Son of God, God Himself, from glory should come and taste death for you and I, for the sins that we have done, which we have to stand in for before God. So before we can be restored to our lost glory of holiness, purity, and righteousness, Christ must die. Christ must come and suffer shame and punishment on the cross. And yet, as one of our hymns tells us, all you that pass by, to Jesus draw near. To you it is nothing that Christ will die. Oh no, I say, that is one of the greatest pain that sinners will have in hell, especially those who have heard the gospel. That's why we believe that the measures of punishment, those who have heard the gospel and have lived in their sin, never sought God's mercy to the grace that they will understand and believe, it will be a great sin that Christ should die, and yet I should continue in the sin that He came to die for. To continue my waywardness toward God. To continue my life of unrighteousness. To continue my life that I think that all the wisdom I have in this world and living in this world, that is all. To live like an animal and die like an animal. And yet I have eternal soul which must live on. I have to live on eternally. And where will you spend that? That's the question. Christ must come and die. We should consider His pains and sufferings on the cross. That He died for our sins. But my question to you is that, have you come to Him? Have you truly experienced His redemptive power? Yes, many may claim to have come to Christ. Maybe some say, Christ will be a woman born in one. I'm saying, if I pray now, I'm going to judge about Christ. I'm saying, all the other two men, why? Another wrong views by this guy. Oh, Christ or dear, if you are born inside. Yes, it's true. But it is when we come to believe in Christ, it is done. It's not some pastor who have to come and deliver us from Satan and demons. Have you had received this redemptive power from Christ? I'm not asking that, are you a religious person, or do you attend church, or do you are you somebody who calls yourself a Christian? But the question is, are you saved from the power of sin? The salvation of Christ, you save us from the power of sin, not from the power of illiteracy or the power of being not able to do well in life. He's come to save us from the power of sin. In Matthew 1:21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Poverty in this world is not sin. Go to Proverbs, he said that God made the rich and the poor. Poverty in this world is not sin. It was the result of sin, but not because maybe you are a sinner, that's why you are poor. Because rich and poor people are all sinners before God. It's not that because somebody is sinful, that's why he's so poor. No, that's not the fact. Christ himself tells us in Mark 1:15 that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. This is the message of Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel, because that is the only way man can reconcile back to God. Jesus said, "Sakrawa dwen na jin sempano fi se eno pe ni kwan a nipa beti ni akoko nya nkabo." That waywardness and that our mind that is now blackened or darkened with ignorance before God, we shall should be restored. Else, we'll read the Bible, we'll have so many knowledge in it. But for us to truly, we only obey the portion that we think are convenient for us. But those parts that are against our own ways, that maybe blocks our profit or it blocks our entertainment, we will never believe it. It will be in our head. But if God has changed our hearts, if you have received this redemptive power, unless we don't know that this is the will of God, though we have so much difficulty in obedience, we will strive to obey. That is the redemptive power of Christ, if we have received it, if it has been worked in us. Christ, knowing this as the only way we can be reconciled, he commands every sinner to repent and believe in his sacrifice for sin. Christo, show Bibiara, or show Bibiara said, Wono wo Calvary, and no, never born a fetcher back, and no pen a mania who contemned your barco. So we are in the few hours, and it has soon hope you have a mobile.